Last week I stood before you with a heavy heart and confessed my dismay over the divisions which have somehow enslaved our nation. And in response, I found that Jesus' simple command to love one another as I have loved you, and I came to serve, not to be served, might help us stand in the midst of the uncertainty that swirls around us and not be drawn into the conflict and the division, but rather to become listeners and healers in our own time. And that moved me this week to struggle with the deeper issues I have of how I, as a Christian, can live in a world that seeks answers to deep questions that face us, questions whose answers often elude us. Not only to listen and to be the healing presence, but how to act responsibly in ways that move people to action, to join with God's plan to restore this world to its intended state, while living out of the gospel of love. And as I did, I kept coming back to the very person of Jesus. And as so often is the case, as I began to read the scripture readings for this week, they began to provide me with an insight into the character of and very being of the one whom I have spent my entire life following: Jesus the man and Jesus the Christ. The gospel you just heard is from Matthew, and it's the beginning of what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. And it is there, in the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus reveals most provocatively who he is and what he came to tell us about God's love for us and for the world. Jesus knows that God will be with him with every breath that he takes and every step that he takes along his long journey. Jesus knows that God will be a part of every fabric of his being. And as he looks at the crowds before him, as he prepares to teach, he finds that he wants them to know this as well. He wants them to know that if you follow me, if you live by my example, there will be moments in your life when you experience what I do: God's nearness, indeed God's very presence in your life. And when you experience that, you will be called blessed, because in that moment you will know what it's like to live in the kingdom of God. So what does it mean to be blessed? When you are poor in spirit. That is, when you find yourself giving instead of receiving. When you offer compassion and love and forgiveness and mercy. When you empty yourself so that others might be filled. You will be blessed. When you mourn, when you recognize that the present condition of the world is far from God's purposes, when you see idolatry, injustice, exploitation, and violence, and you mourn, when your heart goes out to those who suffer, you are blessed. When you are meek, that is, when you turn your focus from yourself to others, when you seek the well-being of another and are willing to sacrifice for them, you are blessed. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, that is, when you seek God or a deeper knowledge of God, when you long for God's presence in your life, and long to follow who he is, you are blessed. When you are merciful, when you seek connection with those who are suffering or in need, when you offer forgiveness to those who hurt you, when you offer love rather than sitting in judgment, you are blessed. When you are pure in heart, Jesus knew that the heart had long been associated with being the center of the soul. For it is there that the Spirit of God resides. God lies at our core, and it is there that our spirit connects with God. And what Jesus taught and what the church has through its traditions recognized is that when we symbolically strip away all of our pretenses and open our naked hearts to God, our pure hearts to God, we are blessed. And when we find ourselves as peacemakers, when we seek to bring people together rather than break them apart, when we break down barriers that separate and divide other humans, we are blessed. And you know what? Jesus lived by those Beatitudes. That was the sum total of his life. He was the one who was poor in spirit, the one who mourned, the one who was meek, the one who hungered and thirsted for righteousness, the one who was merciful, the one who was pure in heart, and the one who was a peacemaker. He did it through his life and his witness, and he believed so much in what he said that he was willing to die on the cross so that we might have life. Jesus is the blessed one who walked in the way of God. And that is the heart and the character of who Jesus is, the one whom we as Christians follow. And I believe that character matters, and the character of Christians matter. And that as Christians, aren't we called to follow Jesus and follow in his footsteps? And as I thought about that, then I got depressed. Because I said, who can live up to that? Who can live the life of the Beatitudes? Who can live a life that pure? How can I hope to follow him? And then it dawned on me. This is not a litany of actions that we're to follow so we can be worthy of God. What Jesus was saying is, this is what I'm doing, and when you experience any of these at any moment in your life, you experience what I experience in my life, and that brings you together with me, and that unites you and me to God. It's in those moments when we live out any aspect of those Beatitudes that we learn a little bit more about what it means to live in God's image. And as that dawned on me, then I was thinking to myself, then what does God want of me? Just to live in this state? And then I read the words from the prophet Micah, who also stood before the great divine judge in his time and asked the question, so what does God require of me if I hope to live in the character of the one who made me? And God replies, to do justice. To love kindness. And to walk humbly with your God. And as he began to take the lead from Jesus in his life, I began to understand that to do justice is to be a voice in the wilderness for oppressed persons, those who are unprotected, widows and orphans, foreigners and strangers, and to fight for the rights of the handicapped, the minorities, the elderly, and the poor, and every person treated as less than God's child. Because that's what Jesus did, and that got him killed. So to follow in Jesus' footsteps is not necessarily a happy thing. And also walking with Jesus is to learn to love kindness, or more precisely, to extend loving kindness to those who come into our lives. And what that means is that we respond to God's love for us by sharing it with one another. If God loves me, I can love you. It also means to look at the world through the eyes of the one who created all that is, living and non-living, and called it good, and claim that the world is good if we have the eyes to see. And finally, what Micah told me to do is to walk humbly with my God. And that maybe is the hardest to do. Because for me, that entails listening for God's voice in people who may be different from me, who may offend me, who may indeed threaten me. Maybe I need to listen instead of trying to outshout them in an effort to prove that I am right and they are wrong. And I think it means seeking to expand my understanding of the breadth and depth of God's love, that it's far more expansive than I can even imagine, rather than limited only to a select few who claim to have a special relationship with the God who loves all. And it also means that as we walk with God, we may find our companions to be people whom our culture tells us might be unworthy of God's love. And as we walk, we find ourselves walking with Democrats and Republicans, conservatives and liberals, men and women, white people and people of color, Christians and Jews and Muslims, rich and poor, old and young. We all walk with God. And in short, it seemed to me as I began this reflection that to reflect the character of Jesus is to go back to the very, very basic of his teaching, to make love the very core of our lives. Not some kind of sentimental love, but a love that understands the great love God has for us and is willing to share that in every possible imaginable way in the world around us, whether it's easy or whether it's difficult, whether there's reward or no reward, simply doing it because when we do, we reflect the character of God. Now let me close by just simply saying what you already know is that we live in a world where fear runs rampant, where fear often dictates our lives. And when fear dictates our lives, love is silent. And when we live in fear, isn't it really the fact that we focus on ourselves? And in doing so, we cut ourselves off from the character that Jesus revealed in his life? And when we are consumed by fear, we run the risk of having our hearts hardened And we tend to act out of self-preservation rather than sacrificial love. It is not easy, necessarily, to be a Christian. And this is not a political statement. It's simply to say, no matter who we are, no matter where we are in our lives, if we are Christians, we share the same value. And we all seek to emulate the character of the one who loved us so much that he was willing to die. Die for you and me. So that we might have life. It's up to each one of us how we alter or arrange or live our lives in response to the great love that we have been given. And may we have the grace and the understanding to accept and to embrace the expansiveness of God's love. And may we become beacons to the world, proclaiming God's love is for all. Amen.